I know no safe depository of the ultimate power of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. And this week's opening quote comes from Thomas Jefferson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Government, folks, why do we need government? And the fact is that we don't really need government at all, because government in its current form is simply racketeering. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of criminals who've taken over the system, maneuvered themselves into power, and are now extorting the wealth of the rest of the population via racketeering. Basically, they just make us all walk between the lines, or they extort money from us or threaten to put us in a cage, and we are basically paying protection money when we pay taxes to these people. That's all it is, folks. The whole thing is a big scam by a bunch of people who are essentially racketeers. That is government. And that's why I'm an anarchist. And a lot of people may question the concept of anarchy, but anarchy has got a bad rap. A lot of people think anarchy is chaos, but it's not. It's actually self-governance, and that's why I support anarchism so much, and that's why I do the shows, because I think people should govern themselves. I think people should be educated enough to a point where they can govern themselves. Of course, it would be very difficult for people to simply drop government at the current point in human history and think that anything good was going to come of it. We certainly need a transitional period, but the first step to that is in people waking up to the fact that government is essentially racketeering. All government does is get in the way of human progress and get in the way of human expression, human creative potential. And another thing they're very good at is creating wars and polluting the environment for corporate profit. They're certainly extremely good at those activities. The job of these people is to manage infrastructure, and they do a god-awful job. They don't manage it well at all, and all they do is use the infrastructure and the fact that they supply it to you as a means of extorting the wealth of the people. In fact, it would be good to see people of different countries, various countries. I mean, all the militias in America, for example, these people could take over the running of the general infrastructure of government so that the country still ran fine and all the transport worked and all the infrastructure still worked properly. And you'd find that you didn't need government at all, because government is racketeering and all it does is get in the way and curb human potential. But certainly one of the most effective tools that government uses to control the masses is war. They love fear. They love putting the fear of another country onto their populace, you know, the threat of North Korea coming and bombing us or Russia or whatever. All this stuff that they cook up, none of it is real. It's just governments colluding with each other to create this specter of fear for their population so that they can lock the population down a little bit more. That's one of the greatest methods of control they've got. Another method, of course, is via control of the monetary system, via control of the banking system, the whole Federal Reserve system. We've seen this for so many years. We've talked about it for so many years, and it doesn't seem like we're going to see an end to it anytime soon. Of course, the Bitcoin people have been trying very hard in this manner, and Bitcoin is certainly pulling a lot of people away from the system. Blockchain technology has been quite a boon to the man on the street, really. And I've been mentioning Bitcoin a little bit lately, and I think people have been misinterpreting what I've been saying, because people have accused me of actually attacking Bitcoin, and I'm not. I think Bitcoin's doing a good thing. I think it's been a great idea, and it's been a great way to pull away from the Federal Reserve system. And in a normal world, it would work. You know, pulling money and pulling funding from that system is a good thing, and I think everybody should do it. Would actually be great for people who do use banks and do use ATMs and all that sort of stuff to transfer the money they do have into Bitcoin. And if they're going to buy stuff online, to only use Bitcoin. And if they're going to be going out to a store or a supermarket or anything in the real world and going shopping, to withdraw it from a Bitcoin ATM and then to shop with cash in the real world. That would really mess them up. Of course, the problem that people have with doing this is that if you are transferring large amounts or using large amounts, well, Bitcoin does tend to fluctuate a little bit, and that's kind of a scary proposition for some people. So I think that's probably what prevents a lot of people from doing that. But I haven't been attacking Bitcoin. What I've been saying is looking at the system that is coming, which is essentially the IoT, the Internet of Things, which is going to be a digital control grid, Bitcoin isn't really going to make a difference to that. In fact, it will work quite fine with it. And I would suspect the government is also looking at it and is looking at introducing their own blockchain technology. And I think that That's just a very logical thing for them to do. But that is not to attack Bitcoin, I think. I think if everyone was to pull their money out of the Federal Reserve System and go to Bitcoin and use it now during this period, it would make a big difference to the banking system, and it would make a big difference to what's happening on the ground, because it would pull the rug out from underneath the bankers. But unfortunately, they're already pretty well off. And what I've been saying with all this is that the new 5G grid, the IoT, the digital control grid that's being rolled out is the real problem. And in that grid, it doesn't really matter where the currency comes from, as long as it's digital and there is no cash. And that's what they're aiming at. But that's not to attack Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is quite a good idea and a good concept and a good way to pull support from the current system in its current form. The problem is that the form of the system is changing. Government is kind of on to what people are doing, and they're trying to cover their backs, and they're trying to get in there and take control of it the way they always do. And they'll come up with some haphazard substandard model that they'll roll out and force the people to have. And my concern is that even though Bitcoin is a good way to pull away from the Federal Reserve System, a lot of people that are using it are kind of being lulled into a sense of complacency. They're not looking at how the system could be changed to incorporate Bitcoin into the control grid. And that's exactly what the IoT and the Internet of Things is doing. And as I said, I don't even expect that they'll be using Bitcoin as the blockchain technology they want to use. They're very likely to introduce something else, such as IOTA, which I believe is not actually blockchain technology. It's something called Tangle technology, which I'm not completely familiar with at all. I mean, I'm not even clued in on blockchain technology, folks. I just know that it's a cryptocurrency. But it just makes perfect sense that the government would be doing this. And a lot of the people that are using Bitcoin, I mean, it's a really good thing, but a lot of them think, well, this is it. We're home and hosed if we do this. But there's a higher agenda. There's a higher harmonic to this. And I'm very concerned at the sense of complacency, because there's still a lot more to this game than meets the eye. Because all the government needs to bring this final end game online, the whole 5G smart system, the Internet of Things, is for all transactions to go digital. And that will happen if the people don't wake up to the fact that it's the government itself that is the problem. And yes, I know there's a higher hand behind government that controls them, but government is what we see. Government is our interface. Government are the CEOs that manage the infrastructure that we see before us. And government is the ones who create the legislation which allows all of the corruption to go ahead and to reign unchecked. All these people do is create war and fear and put us in financial slavery, and they are the source of all the woes that we face, really. You know, our allowance and our tolerance of what these people do, that's the problem. And we need to realize that it's just racketeering, and we do not need these people at all. And it's actually time we started holding them to account. I mean, look at some of the things they're doing, folks, seriously. Mandatory vaccines they want to bring in Australia. They're doing that in Italy as well. At least the people of Italy showed a little backbone, and we had millions of people marching down the streets saying, this isn't about vaccines, this is about freedom. And that's truly what it's about. Unfortunately, the people of Apothralia don't seem to take it that way. They just seem to roll over on command whenever their corrupt government tells them to do anything. And that is quite shocking to see. So hopefully the people of Australia will regrow some backbones, because I'm sure we used to all have them at some stage in our lives, and they will stand up against their corrupt government soon, because the Malcolm Turnbull regime in Australia is really one of the most corrupt governments in the Western world. This can be clearly seen simply by the fact that the Turnbull government is pushing mandatory vaccines on the people, while Malcolm Turnbull's wife is the one who is profiting from these mandatory vaccines. So you can see why they are pushing this on the people. They also banned a anti-vaxxer from coming into the country and informing the population of what vaccines really do. And so this would indicate that the Australian government is literally terrified of the population ever finding out how much they've been scammed by these people, and just how much the people of Australia have been forced to do damage to their children via the whim of an ultra-corrupt government. And again, folks, this is because government is racketeering, and it really can't be demonstrated any better than what we've seen in Australia. I mean, really, folks, when you look at it, what the Australian government has done is they have made a very, very strong statement against free speech, and unfortunately, it has been supported by the media and by large sections of a very, very programmed population. But it's not about banning anti-vaxxers, ladies and gentlemen. It's about free speech. It's about someone not having the right to voice their opinion on whatever issue the government decides it doesn't want the people to hear about. And this is not acceptable. This is a government that has overstepped its mark and stands in a clear abuse of the office that it holds. The entire Malcolm Turnbull regime has basically made an open declaration of dictatorship with the banning of this anti-vaxxer from Australia. But I digress. The whole world is very messed up, folks. It's not just Australia. The whole world is messed up, and so much of it is theatre. It really is. And for many years, about the last 5 years, one of the main focuses of the radio shows that I've done has been the situation that exists in Palestine. What is really happening to these people at the hands of the ultra-corrupt Israeli government. And regardless of whether you're a Christian or a Jew or whatever, the government of Israel is an incredibly corrupt government that is controlling so much of the world and is responsible for so much crime in the world and so much of the chaos and mayhem that we see in the world. And I've focused on this for a great many years. I've exposed so many aspects of Israeli control around the world. Recently, I spoke about the Palantir software, Operation Talpiot, so many things that this country does, and how this country, the Kalugi Plan, has been responsible for the migrant influx into Europe. It was Jewish influences that created both world wars and all of the atrocities that resulted from those wars. It was Jewish influences that created the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Holocaust of 66 million Christians at the hands of Bolshevik Jews in the Russian gulags. All sorts of issues I've addressed on this show. I've actually spoken about Israel and Palestine ad nauseum in the hope of not only saving the people of Palestine, because they certainly need a voice, no one else is giving it to them, but also in the hope of people seeing what a legal opportunity it provides to the world, most especially to America, simply because every politician in the United States signed the AIPAC Treaty and therefore pledged allegiance to the State of Israel in order to get funding to run for political office in America. Israel is carrying out all of these war crimes, which means all the politicians in America, not only are they all basically standing in open treason because they signed a pledge of allegiance to a foreign nation before gaining office, but they're also supporting war crimes. So this is a great legal remedy if people want to go down that path. I focused on this for quite a long time and really attempted to push that issue to the people and got virtually no results. I woke a lot of people up to the fact that this is going on, but of course we don't ever see any legal remedy because there is no legal remedy that's ever going to be available to anything that we're facing in this world. I mean, the pure fact of the matter is that the system is simply designed that way. It's designed to protect the criminals at the top, and even if you get some result at something that you try to do, it'll just be a scapegoat that gets chosen, that gets hung out to dry. They'll serve half the term or a quarter of the term they're supposed to serve, and it'll all get brushed under the carpet and go away. You never get the results that you want because the system is not designed that way. It's designed to tie people up in red tape and to afford a means of escape for the real criminals at the top. That's what it's for. So no matter what you're facing, and no matter what proof you've got, no matter how strong your case is, you can't ever expect to find any real remedy from within any parameters that are provided for you by the system, simply because it's designed to never allow that to occur. A lot of the reasons I've used these things is to simply wake people up to the fact that they're living under an ultra-corrupt system which does not serve them, is not functional, and will never work, and will never give them remedy. But they have to see the crimes have been committed before they're going to realize this. But recently I've been noticing how much of a play all this is and how much of a play it's all been to keep us distracted from what's being rolled out beneath our feet, the 5G grid. I find it very interesting that there's so many theatres of conflict happening in the world and none of them ever really lead anywhere. So many of them are presented to us as being a threat to the security of everybody or a precursor to World War III or some big event that's about to happen, but it never really happens. It all keeps us on the edge of our seat waiting for something major to happen, but it never really happens. And underneath it is this 5G grid and this Internet of Things all coming online. And recently I've been focusing on it very heavily because, as I said, I've been noticing how all of the other stuff is a distraction, and no matter how much effort I've put into attempting to heal the situation in Israel and Palestine and how many of its aspects I've made public, I just haven't had any results from it. And so for the last couple of months, I've kind of stopped focusing on Israel and Palestine and started focusing on the deeper issues that are happening beneath it. And I've noticed a particular trend on some of my videos. A lot of people are very, very focused on getting me to return my attention to the virtually unsolvable issue of Israel and Palestine and to turn away from the 5G grid. The amount of trolls and the amount of personal attacks and the amount of people that have been attempting to lead me in other directions, people have literally accused me of attempting to cover up for Israel simply because I'm not focusing my attention on them for every single show that I do. And I find that to be particularly interesting. There's been all sorts of people coming from all sorts of different directions going out of their way to attempt to get me focused back on Israel and Palestine, get me caught up in infighting, make me focus on the flat earth, make me focus on going on a boat trip or whatever. So many things have been happening in the last few weeks to steer me away from this awareness of 5G and the awareness of the IoT and the Internet of Things and the whole smart grid that's coming online in the next couple of years. There's so much to push me back into focusing on unsolvable issues that have been created simply to keep the people emotional, keep them angry, and keep them fighting. I think it's very telling. You don't get the flak if you're not over the target. I think it's very interesting that people would be using Israel as a means of attempting to defame me, because anybody who's listened to any of my shows knows exactly how much work I've done to expose the crimes of Israel and to help free the Palestinian people. And it is an extremely important issue. I mean, the situation in Gaza now is absolutely horrendous, ladies and gentlemen. And people aren't seeing it. Nobody's paying attention to it. And it does need attention. But again, no matter how much attention we give it, we don't solve it. We don't ever see anything. Because the only way to solve the situation in Gaza is to rein in the US politicians that are funding the rogue state of Israel. And you won't do that because so many people in America, so many Christians believe that this is God's chosen people. You know, when really if they were to do their due diligence and read Revelation properly, they'd realize that who is in control of Israel right now is in fact the synagogue of Satan. They're very, very well described in the book of Revelation. And that is the problem with many Christians. They simply haven't done their due diligence in regard to the current state of Israel, which is not run by the people they think it's run by, and is in fact responsible for so much damage that has been done in the world. But unfortunately, many Christians just see this as the bringing about of the end times and the return of their Savior, and so they support that as well. And it's a very unfortunate thing. However, as I said, it's almost impossible to heal the situation in Gaza without dealing with the higher issues, which is the American government. And I find it particularly interesting. I mean, it's been very, very revealing to me that after so much work I've done to expose what's going on there, that people would be using that as a means to attempt to defame me, because it just reveals so much to me. And what it reveals is how much certain people want people focused on this issue, because it's unsolvable and it will never be solved until we deal with the higher harmonics. And they're obviously very, very scared of too much awareness being raised over the 5G grid and the Internet of Things. But folks, it's racketeering that enslaves us. That's essentially what it is. And all of this stuff, these unsolvable issues that we have, are all there simply to, like I said, raise our emotions and to keep us fighting, to keep us struggling, to keep us believing we can make a difference in something that simply cannot be solved because we're not looking in the right direction as to where the problem is actually coming from. For example, with the situation in Palestine, as I said, the only way to stop it is not to scream out about the state of Israel, it's to stop the politicians that are funding the state of Israel, which are all giving you an opportunity to do that because they're all standing in open treason simply because they've signed the AIPAC pledge. But nobody really wants to stand up and do that, and we're not directed towards that by most of the Palestinian activists and most of the people who are speaking out against Israel. They're not directing you towards this area. They're not directing you towards anywhere that may be empowering. They're just getting your blood up, getting you angry. That's what Antifa is all about as well. It's about getting people angry. Antifa is just another fascist movement out there creating violence like any fascist movement that has risen before it, just beating up innocent people because they think differently. And all of this is a play. All of these things are put there by government to keep us fighting amongst each other and to prevent us from ever looking at the real root cause of the problems. And as I said, to prevent us from seeing what is really being rolled out beneath our feet. You know, I think it's imperative that people notice what this smart grid is and what it's going to do. And they're really working to make all transactions digital. They want everyone to do everything online. They want all websites to be on clouds. They are changing the entire structure of the internet. They are changing the entire structure of the way everybody does business and performs commerce. And it's imperative that people pay attention. You know, all these things, they may be more convenient for you, but they are so much of a trap. And a lot of people don't realize that that's why they've made things so inconvenient for you to begin with. And why do you think it is that you go to the airport, for example, and you want to check in on a flight and half of the counters are closed? You want to check through customs, half of the counters are closed. I checked in when I came to Houston through Mexico when I first came to the United States back early in the year. When we got to Houston Airport, there was something like 16 passport stamping counters and two of them were open. Two of them. We had to wait in line for 2.5 hours to get our passport stamped. And they do this simply because they want you to welcome the retinal scanners and the automatic machines when they bring them in. They make it inconvenient for you on purpose so that they can lead you into this digital control grid. And unfortunately, many people lap it up. And of course, it's obvious to see why they would, because nobody likes waiting in line for 2.5 hours. Of course, if you can just go straight through the digital retinal scan, many people are going to opt for that because, hey, what's the difference? I just want to get through. I want to get out of this airport. I want to get to where I'm going. But what they don't understand is that's why government makes it so difficult for you to get everywhere you're going to begin with. Problem, reaction, solution works every time. And I certainly see people attempting the same strategy with me, like attempting to lead me back towards focusing only on Israel, attempting to distract me from the 5G grid. They come on, they bait me, they present me with a problem, which is trolling and personal attacks and accusations of covering up for Israel. They hope that my reaction will be to feel intimidated by the attacks and that I will wish to solve the problem by returning my focus back to where they want me to be focused. It's quite interesting how this happens. And that's the way a lot of trolling works on the internet, folks. That's a lot of what they want to do is they want to direct your attention to where they want it. They want you fighting. They want you arguing. They want you looking at other things apart from what you're looking at. And that's why they do it. I even had one person, check this out, I even had one person send me an email saying they were going to go back through all of my old video threads for years and years and find every insult that I've ever written to anybody, and they're going to string them all together and post it to expose me as being such a nasty person. It'd be an interesting one to look at, folks. I'm looking forward to that one myself, because I have most certainly insulted lots of people over the years because I'm human too, and I do like to show a little bit of emotion, especially when someone accuses me of being a government agent. But think about that. Think about someone actually going to the trouble to do that. What an amazing amount of effort to spend, and what an incredible threat to send someone. That's the sort of level that people go to, ladies and gentlemen, to distract you from your path. And it really is quite fascinating to see, and it's very interesting that it's coming about right at the time that I'm exposing the smart grid that is being rolled out right beneath our feet and suggesting that people pay attention to it. Very, very telling, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, you don't get the flak unless you're over the target, and it's actually quite liberating to know that so many people are so terrified about this information getting out to people. And there really has been a huge response in the independent media as well. I've got such an amazing amount of support from listeners and from other researchers. And I've seen so many people focusing on this 5G grid as well. So many people talking about the smart grid, the Internet of Things, and a lot of people are noticing where we're really going now and where all this is actually leading. Because as I said, the smart grid is the end game. This is the New World Order itself, the digital smart grid where you will be required to pay for every single aspect of your life. And that's what it will be like, folks. Like in England, you've got to pay to use the bathroom in train stations, the same in Holland. This will happen in your own house. You'll soon have to pay to use the bathroom. You have to pay to use the stove, pay to switch a light on. They'll be presenting it to you saying, oh, look, this is much better for you. You're not going to have to pay for electricity all the time the way you were. You're only going to be paying for what you use. So we will need to detect what you use. But what they're doing is they're putting a dollar value on every single aspect of your life. You'll be able to flick a switch on and look at your digital credits and watch one credit drop down because you flicked the light switch on. You'll be able to see one credit drop down if you leave the fridge open too long. You'll be able to see credits drop down when you run a bath for yourself, when you take a shower, when you make your coffee, when you get in your car, when you lift your telephone, when you do anything. That's the way it's going. And it can only happen if there's no cash. That's the thing. And once it is all digital like this, that's what I mean. It doesn't matter where the currency comes from. Doesn't matter what form it takes. Doesn't matter whether it's fiat currency in a bank that's turned digital. Doesn't matter whether it's blockchain. Doesn't matter whether it's Tangle. Doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's digital, it can work. If it's not digital, then it can't work. They can't have you putting dollar coins in slot machines every time you want to open your fridge or turn on a light. They have to make it digital. And that's why people need to step away from all digital transactions when they're operating in the real world. I mean, sure, it's okay buying digital stuff online. You got to buy airline tickets. You got to do this or do that. But when you're going shopping, when you're purchasing something, going to the supermarket, going to the store, going paying for gas, any of that stuff, don't use the machines. Go and draw cash out of the bank and go in and pay for it with cash. Maybe a little more inconvenient, but trust me, it's going to be far more inconvenient for you to be locked down into a digital slavery system. And that's the way we're going if people don't pay attention to where they're being led. Now, all the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it so much, and it is so true. And every time we think we've found a way out of this system, they come along and they turn it back against us, and they turn it into something else, and something that it wasn't ever supposed to be. They're very good at it, and there's every chance that they will attempt this with whatever plan anybody puts into place. So what we need to do is be diligent. We need to pay attention. We need to look at the bigger picture in all of this. We need to realize what this digital smart grid is and how it is going to control us and how it is the grid itself that is the problem. Now, the central banking system has been absolutely terrible what it's done, the slavery that it's brought about and the terrible hardship that it's put people in. But it can't last forever. We're all expecting it to crash, and we know it's going to. It can't continue what it's doing. And we've always thought that that was it. It was all about control, and this control was always achieved by limiting people's access to funds. And sure, they're doing that as well, and they've always done that, but now they've sort of gone beyond that. Now it isn't about limiting your access to funds. It's about making sure that those funds are used and are spent for every single aspect of your life. Normal things that you took for granted will now cost you money. Normal things that you may think you were paying for before, but you really weren't, now you will be paying for. It's all about control, folks. It's always been about control, and all the world is a stage. And when we try to make these changes, they always come in and nip it in the bud, and very often they get away with it. But we have an opportunity to keep it going in the direction we want it to go by simply being aware of how these things can be controlled, how they can be manipulated, and being open to the possibility that someone is trying to change it and someone is working to manipulate it, because most certainly they are. And we should never forget that. We must always be diligent in all of these plans that we put forth and make sure they don't get steered in a direction we don't want it to go. But I think we have reached break time now, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back and speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so I don't think Bitcoin is bad at all. I don't think blockchain technology is bad at all. It's just keeping an eye on who's looking at it and how they might be wanting to use it and how they might be able to manipulate the system to fit the blockchain or gain control of a blockchain themselves to fit the system. I just think it's important for people to look at all this. And when using any of these technologies, to make sure we maintain a level of independence in these technologies and not allow ourselves to become enslaved to them or to be led in the direction that the government actually wants to lead us. Because that's never a good thing. And if you want proof of that, just look at history. Government never really leads people in the right direction. In fact, government has led us exactly to where we are now. But speaking of blockchain technology, I've actually started uploading videos to DTube as well. I'm going to be posting on Steemit a lot more and moving away from Fascist Book a lot more. And again, moving away from YouTube as much as I can. I'll still be uploading to YouTube, but I'm going to be uploading to DTube as well and attempting to support that community, because that is blockchain technology and cannot be manipulated and controlled the way we are seeing happening on YouTube. YouTube really has gone downhill ever since its inception. I mean, each new update, it seems to get steadily more terrible. I don't know how they managed to do that. But the way they're controlling things on YouTube is getting very bad as well, so it's about time we moved over to something else. So with that in mind, I'm shifting over to DTube. As I said, I will still be uploading to YouTube, But I'm going to upload to both platforms and just see how it goes. And something else that I've been talking about quite a bit lately is the need for people to put down their technology, the need for people to put down their smartphones. And I'm beginning to realize that this just is not going to happen. I mean, I kind of realized it to begin with anyway, that it just wasn't going to happen. People are just going to continue using their smartphones. In fact, many people are probably listening to this show on a smartphone now. But what you can do if you're going to continue using the technology and using these smartphones is you can just disable certain things on your smartphone. For example, don't have any type of voice assistance on there. Don't have Siri activated. Don't use the Facebook Messenger app. In fact, try to use as least as many apps as you possibly can. But most especially the Facebook Messenger app, because the Facebook Messenger app is a very, very evasive spyware system. And just always shop with cash. You know, even if you're a Bitcoin person, go to a Bitcoin ATM and draw cash out of the machine and go shop with that. Or if you've got to buy something online, use Bitcoin. But just use the apps on your phone as the least as possible. And if you can, get an old smartphone with a battery in it, so that you can take the battery out when you're going to someone's house, or take the battery out when you want to have a private conversation, because in new phones you can't take the battery out. And I'm offering all of these sorts of things because I'm trying to soften the blow a little bit of getting rid of your smartphone, or at least disconnecting from it as much as possible. I mean, it's the apps, it's all the spyware that's involved in these apps that is the real problem. It's the locators, the GPS, the fact that it listens to what you're saying, mainly that it listens to what you're saying. And it does this with everybody. And I realize people are addicted to their smartphones and they're going to stick with this technology, but they can at least make it more difficult for the system to track you and more difficult for the smart grid to come online by disabling certain functions on your smartphone, or at least talking yourself out of continuing to buy the latest model of everything, because the latest model of everything usually contains far more surveillance than the model before it, and it's far more difficult to turn that surveillance off. That's why they'd like you to update. But the surveillance comes from all angles anyway. I mean, the surveillance that we get just by using the internet is quite profound. As I've often said, just searching on Google is surveillance in itself. I mean, this is mapping the human terrain. It's allowing the powers that believe they be to know what you think. And also the way we react to things. I mean, half the political theatre they create is so they will get a reaction from people, so they know what the people are thinking. They know who's on what side, who's buying into what story, what the numbers are, what the statistics show them. It's all a play, folks, and it's all about control. It's all about surveillance. That's what half of the theatre is. I mean, look at all the stuff Trump's doing. None of it makes sense. I still haven't figured Trump out. I can't figure this guy out. I don't know whether he's an out-and-out Zionist, or whether he's simply a fool run by his own ego who actually thinks he's saving America. I mean, I've got to look at him and give him some benefit of the doubt, because if he was an out-and-out Zionist, he probably would have moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and he reneged on that. Sometimes I think he's just ruled by his ego, and he actually thinks he's going to do the right thing to some weird degree in some weird way. It's kind of difficult trying to figure out how this man's mind works. I mean, he's obviously bending over backwards to capitulate to almost every want that Israel has, but by the same token, perhaps he's just incredibly naive and unbelievably misinformed, but then that is a hard position to adopt, knowing what a shrewd businessman he is. But I think so much of what he's doing is theatre, and I think so much of what we're seeing on the global stage in general is theatre. I mean, the humanitarian crisis aside that we are seeing in situations such as in Gaza, in Palestine, in Syria, Yemen, Bahrain, there's so many places where people are truly suffering, South Africa, all over Africa. I mean, it's happening everywhere, and that matters for sure. But the humanitarian crises that are a result of global conflict aside, all of the global conflict itself, the political theatre that surrounds the global conflict, I don't think any of it really matters to the degree that we think it does. I think we're not looking at the underlying issues, and I think the underlying issues are what we need to be looking at. I think that's what a lot of this has been for. I think it's what the whole conspiracy culture was brought about for when it came about back in the 1960s. It really started to blossom. And I think all of this was done just to confuse the minds of everybody, to bring us to the point that we are now, so that they could roll this whole system out and no one would notice it. And no one would see what's going on right beneath their feet, because everybody would be distracted by so many extra issues and so many side issues and so many rabbit holes that lead nowhere and so many unsolvable problems that have been created simply to raise the blood of the people, to raise their ire, to get them emotional, to get them fighting amongst each other, to get them marching in the street and protesting about all this stuff that's going on that they can't change, and just allowing this whole smart grid, this whole technocracy to come online. Because this whole technocratic era has been planned for a very long time, ladies and gentlemen. There was a book that came out back in the 1920s or 30s called Technocracy. The author escapes me at the moment, but it was put out there and it basically outlined exactly what we are seeing today. Brzezinski referenced this quite extensively in his book Between Two Ages, which is where he viewed us as being in the last 20 years, between the age of basically what is a feudal system leading into a technocratic system where everything would be monitored and there would be details available instantly about everybody. And that's where we're going. That's what all of this smart grid is about. That's what the IoT is about. And yes, folks, that is what your smartphone is about. And that is what the internet has really been about. Getting tabs on everybody and mapping the human terrain. And I have to say that one of the most difficult things in bringing this information to people is the fact that there simply is no solution that can be provided readily to the people that doesn't require their personal participation. I mean, that's the thing, you know, you can go down these rabbit holes and look at all this research for so many years, and you can find all sorts of people to point the finger at, and you can find all sorts of issues that are extremely important that need dealing with, like I've mentioned earlier, Palestine, Yemen, Syria, name a conflict, the Jesuits, the Jews, all these rampant Wahhabists running around the world pretending they're Islamic jihadists. The Kalergi plan, the genocide of the peoples of Europe via mass migration by all of these programmed Arabs that are out there doing Mossad's work for them. All these Mossad-run ISIS terrorists. I mean, the complete and utter corruption of all of our governments. There's so many issues that need to be dealt with. But what happens when you look at all this stuff and you realize it's screaming out about it never really gets anywhere, and that there's an underlying issue, and that the underlying issue is the smart grid itself. It's all the technology we're using to find out all of this information. That is the problem. What happens when you can identify that problem and you have to bring this information to people? This is very uncomfortable, because here I am using that very technology to bring the information to people. I mean, how ironic is that? And yet it needs to be done. That's the thing. It needs to be done. What happens when you see this and don't say anything about it? I mean, what am I supposed to do? Look at all this and say, eh, that doesn't really matter. Let's focus on screaming out about the Jews or the Jesuits or whatever we want to scream and focus our attention on. None of it's going to get anywhere because we're not free enough to change it anyway. And we're not focusing on that freedom. We're all divided, focusing on our different issues and arguing about them with each other. And we're not focused on the core issue, which has put us in this situation, which is the lack of freedom for mankind, which has been achieved via the lack of unity of mankind and the inability of most people to allow others to think differently. You know, divide and conquer is the strategy, folks. That's the motto, and it works wonders. And you just got to look at the world to see how well it works. Everybody is so divided. Everybody is so into attacking each other, looking at every little thing. I've still got people saying, oh, look at the symbolism. He says this, but look at the picture that he used here. I mean, God, it's a picture, folks. It's a picture. Even with my videos especially, my videos, I just put slideshows up there to entertain people so they've got something to look at. Very rarely do I use flowcharts or anything like that. I mean, sometimes I put stuff in there that's relevant to what I'm saying, but usually it's just a picture that kind of illustrates the point I'm trying to make. But people read so much symbolism into things, it's got to the point where the only way you're really going to be able to make a safe video is if you just leave the screen blank. That way no one will be able to accuse you of doing anything. No one will be able to accuse you of trying to program them with images, and they might just listen to what you're actually saying. And speaking about people listening to what you're saying, I hope you can hear what I'm saying today, folks. You may have noticed the sound changed halfway through the show. I actually recorded the first half of the show out in the country at a beautiful place, and the second half of the show I am here on the Sunset Strip in the center of Hollywood. So there's a lot of noise outside, a lot of traffic noise, and a lot of residual droning that you might be hearing. So I do apologize for that. But that's what happens when you're on the road, folks. You just got to take these little snippets and snippets and record things as best you can when you get the opportunity to do so. I'm going to be heading out to Holland tomorrow, back to the Netherlands to do some combo workshops. I've got to speak in Denmark next weekend at the Open Mind Conference. So you're not going to be getting a show from me next weekend. But I'll try to get one out for you the following weekend. And a couple of weeks after that, on October the 1st, I'm going to be speaking in Swindon in England. although I am hoping I get out of the United States and get back to the Netherlands in a timely manner, because my flight goes from LA to Washington, D.C., and then on to Schiphol in Holland. And with Hurricane Irma still hovering off the coast and doing its thing, it's anybody's guess as to whether I'm going to make a tour or whether it's going to be delayed or where I'm going to end up. So that might be an interesting weekend ahead of me. And again, it's just all part of the fun, all part of the great adventure of doing all this stuff that we do. And it has been an interesting chapter here in the United States. It's been interesting being here with Texas experiencing its worst flooding in pretty well on record, I think, and with LA experiencing its worst fire on record, and now we have this huge hurricane hovering off the coast, possibly even heading towards New York, as many people are predicting that it may, although Florida certainly looks like it's getting the worst of it at the moment. But anyway, I'm getting a little off topic. I didn't really come on here to talk about the weather. And what is on topic is this surveillance grid, this smart grid, where it's going and what we can do about it. And that is the most difficult thing, folks, is figuring out what we can do about it, because, as I said, it involves audience participation. And the most effective thing anyone can do about it at the moment, really, I believe, is to spread awareness of it, because we need more and more people to know about it. I'm sure that once enough people know what's going on, they're going to stand up against this and they're not going to want to use it. You know, and educating the children, you know, pulling your children away from the technology, at least if they're going to be using technology, to at least get them involved in activities in the real world as well. I mean, go out and do stuff with your kids. I know it's boring for them to hang out with the olds or whatever, but try to develop some sort of family rapport anyway, because it's extremely important that we pull the kids away from the tech, or at least if they're going to be using the tech, that they know what they're getting involved in, that they know how much of a surveillance grid it actually is. And they're really pushing. I mean, I heard rumors of them removing PIN numbers in Australia for certain banks and using a ring or something. I don't know how true it is. I haven't confirmed it. It might just be a rumor. Could be fake news. Don't know. But even if it is fake news, I think they put this sort of stuff out there just to test the waters, to see how people are going to react to it. So it's good to pay attention to some of the stuff that they're telling us anyway. But that's where it's going, folks. It's all going towards this smart grid and this Internet of Things. And it's only going to be public awareness that is able to change anything, because it's public complacency and the public's willingness to just accept what the government rolls out and say, oh, okay, we do things this way now, and just going along with it. That causes all of these problems. You know, people have to pay attention to these little details in their lives when these details are in fact major changes to the way they do things. I mean, even the major change from pounds, shillings and pence to decimal currency, so it could become all digital. This is a major step. And the step from decimal currency to digital currency, this is again a major step. You know, when they started phasing out cash and convinced people to start using credit cards for their everyday transactions, this was a major step. People didn't really notice it, but it was a major step. I mean, there were people like me screaming out about it when I was at high school, and people still didn't notice it, but it was a major step. All these things are major steps, folks. Removing the ability to pay for your luggage with cash, and removing cash transactions from airlines, and removing the entertainment systems from airlines and forcing you to use your mobile phone or your iPad. This is a major step. The introduction of organic supermarkets that refuse to use cash. This, again, is a major step. And you notice that they're using the organic supermarkets. They want the alternate people to embrace this first, because they need to get the alternates. They need to get the people who want to be organic and want to be healthy and want to do all this stuff to step out of the system to begin with, which is what a lot of the organic people want to do. They don't want to be involved in the system. They don't want to be involved in Woolworths or any of this factory farming or any of this sort of stuff. They want to be conscious people. And so these are the ones they are introducing the cashless supermarkets to. If you want to buy organic food in Holland, you've got to go to the Markt supermarket, and the Markt supermarket does not accept cash. This is how they do it. And the people don't notice. They just know that the food in this store is organic, and they want organic food, and it's convenient for them to do it that way. Hey, they don't even think about the fact that they do it that way. They just do it that way because that's the way everybody else does it. People just follow the leader. The problem is that it's all leading into a very bad direction. And as I said, even if you are someone who supports organic food and supports organic supermarkets, if you're supporting the cashless grid and you're supporting the 5G grid, then you can forget about your organic food, because the 5G grid will change the cell structure of everything that it comes into contact with. It'll change the cell structure of all the food that's been grown. Even by walking into the store with your mobile phone on the 5G network, you're changing the cell structure of the food in the store. you're changing the cell structure of everything and everybody that you come into contact with, because that's what the 5G millimeter wave does. So all of this stuff needs to be looked at, and all of it needs to be taken into account. And I admit that it's quite a freaky future. It's quite a scary proposition for a lot of people. But unfortunately, it's a reality, and ignoring it is not going to make it go away. In fact, it's going to make it get a lot worse. Well, maybe not a lot worse. I don't know how it could get much worse than where it's going, but it's going to make it get a lot worse a lot quicker if we don't do something about it. And some of the things we can do about it, well, again, people aren't going to give up their technology. They're not going to give up their mobile phones, but what if we can use this technology against the system in some way? As I said, we can do things like uninstall any voice activation, uninstall any voice assistance. We can draw Bitcoin out of machines and shop with Bitcoin and store our savings there rather than using banks. And when we shop in the real world, we can shop with cash. We can refuse to use any automated systems, any automated check-ins, any automated supermarkets, anything that's automated, automated petrol pumps. Don't use these either. Draw money out of your Bitcoin account and go and pay for it with cash. You know, unless there is absolutely no other option and you absolutely have to go through this section or area or whatever it is that you have to do, and the only way to do it is by using their automated system, then refuse to do it. And if you have to do that, make a little bit of noise about it. At least say something and express your distaste at being forced into using a system which is leading towards human slavery, because that's what it is. All of it is leading towards human slavery. Now, just the fact that people use credit cards, they don't realize what they're doing, because using a credit card to go shopping in the real world is leading towards human slavery. It's consolidating the power of the system, it's buying into the system, and it's supporting the system, because the system is the smart grid. I don't know how many times I can say that. I suppose I should stop saying it, because it's probably getting on people's nerves, because I'm probably saying it ad nauseum. But it's true. That's what the New World Order is. It's the digital control grid, which is going to be controlled by AI, and that AI is due to come online, and we're seeing all sorts of rumors of it now. I mean, there's so much talk of AI getting out of control here and out of control there, and developing anger and developing this and developing that. The more intelligent it gets, the nastier it gets, and a lot of it is predictive programming. A lot of it is subliminal thoughts that they want to put in there. They want people to believe all this. They want people to be scared, because fear is really what runs the whole thing. Fear is what keeps the wheel spinning. So it's important for people to pay attention to it and to realize when they're being played and when they're not. But again, it's our support for this system, our tolerance of wrong behavior, our willingness to just let these politicians run amok, that causes all the problems to begin with. So we need to address that. We really do. We've got to start finding our own personal power and applying that to the world. And you know, in all the shows that I've done over the years, that has been the main goal of everything that I've ever brought you on any of these radio shows, is to attempt to empower you, to help people rediscover themselves. I think that has been one of the greatest tragedies of the human experience, the loss of self, the loss of our knowledge of ourselves. You know, and everything that I bring you on these shows, always remember, all I'm offering you is my perspective. That's all I have to give. That's all anybody really has to give. And that's why we shouldn't really get into these fights and these arguments and all the stuff. I mean, I get sucked into it still on threads on YouTube and everything, but really all people are offering me is their perspective, and they're complaining about my perspective. My question is, why are they doing that? Half the time I respond is because I'm so confused, and I want to know why. I want to know what has caused this person to adopt the perspective that they've had and to fail to listen to what I've said so completely. Why do people allow themselves to be distracted by some picture that they saw they don't like? Do they mean something? Because they read it in some book somewhere that it means something, or they saw on some website somewhere that it means something, or somebody told them that it means something. What about the words that are said? Like I said, it's got to the point where we won't be able to use any artwork at all in videos, because everything means too much for somebody else, and they will misconstrue what you're saying because they're so caught up in symbolism, they're so caught up in the images, they're so caught up in their own programming of needing to mistrust everything that they've forgotten how to listen with their hearts. I think that's really one of the biggest problems that we face in the world, folks, is that people have forgotten how to listen with their hearts. They've forgotten how to speak with their hearts. They've forgotten the language of the heart. They certainly seem to have forgotten it here in LA. I don't know whether you can hear these sirens and this police chase or whatever that's going on outside, but this is what's happened to the world, folks. People have forgotten their hearts. They've forgotten what we're really here for, and they've forgotten what this human experience could really be. And they've certainly forgotten how to interact with each other, And a lot of that, I believe, is because they've lost their own sense of worth. They don't really know what they are, so therefore they find it very difficult to understand what other people are. They find it very difficult to be tolerant of other people, especially if those other people's ideas conflict with their ideas or their perspective, because really it's just a perspective. It doesn't matter what you believe, it's just a perspective gained on what information you've looked at and the perspective that you've gained from that. It's people's willingness to want to cram that down other people's throats and then fight about it that creates the problem. And like I said, a lot of this has been done by design. All these conspiracy theories have been put out there just to keep us distracted, regardless of how many of them are true, because a lot of them are. There's a lot of really weird stuff going on in this earth, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of people that are up to a lot of really weird things and do a lot of really bad things and a lot of uncomfortable things, and there's a lot of people working to just scan the rest of the human race. And that's true. It's a reality. But the only way to get out of it, the only way to get out of this situation is for people to develop this own language of their own hearts and to step above all this and to call things out for what they are. You're not going to get any help in digging up any little group like the Clinton Foundation or whoever and prosecuting certain members of it. It's just going to be some scapegoat that hangs out to dry and nothing is really going to change. People will think they've got a little bit of change. It'll satisfy their need for a scapegoat, a need for someone to hang, a need for someone to pay for what they did. And they'll go home and think, well, that was good. We arrested those two people and they got tried and hung, and isn't the world better now? But really it isn't. It isn't better at all, because we're still allowing this evil to be here. We're still allowing this corruption to be here. We're still supporting the wars and supporting the system and paying our taxes and disrespecting each other. That is the issue. Until we can rise above that, nothing's going to work. And the thing is that when we do rise above that, it all works. It all falls into place. You know, if we put down our barriers with people and we respect each other, we stop judging each other and we do the right thing and all that we do, we create a ripple effect that goes out to the entire world. And everything changes by default at that point. If we simply refuse to tolerate wrong behavior, refuse to tolerate bad behavior, refuse to tolerate war, refuse to do anything which causes us to step outside our moral compass. It's really as simple as that. We do that, and the world has to change around us by default. It's very simple. And that's the only thing that can work. There is no arrests. There is no movement. There is no big wave of consciousness that's going to rise up and prosecute everybody, because all the prosecution, it's all theater, it's all rubbish, it's all just this same legal system they're inflicting on us. We don't need to prosecute anybody. Just make them go away. Send them over to Christmas Island. Send them somewhere to live where they're not infecting the rest of society with their rubbish, with their egos, with their psychopathy, because that's really the problem. That's another thing we face. All this division, it's a patriarchal society. No, it's not, folks. It's not patriarchal. We don't need a matriarchal society. What we've got here is a society which is run by psychopaths, and what we need is a society that is run by the true divinity of this human species, because we have that within ourselves if we can just find it again and embrace it and apply it to the world that we live in. We don't need any of these categories. We don't need to class ourselves as any movement or any group or any gender even. Doesn't need to be males against the females. It needs to be one species, the divinity of the divine male, the divinity of the divine female. Put it all together and let's get back to our true human divinity and let's move this forward. We have every opportunity to do so, and it's my great hope that we do. I do try to maintain some level of positivity, folks, even with all of the quite disturbing information that I bring you on many of these shows. I do try to maintain some level of positivity. I know it's hard. And trust me, it's quite hard for me as well, but I always believe there is a silver lining, and I think really that the human experience had to be reduced to this. You know, I think this is probably just what it takes to wake us up to ourselves, because so many people just won't see it unless it's in their face, and well, it's certainly getting that way now. But folks, we're almost at the end of the show here, so I'm going to have to leave it here for now. As I said, I'm not going to be able to bring you a show next week because I'm going to be speaking at the Open Mind Conference in Denmark. I do hope to see you there if you are anywhere in Europe. In a couple of weeks from now, I'm also speaking at the Truth and Freedom Conference at Swindon, at Suju in Swindon. That's on October 1st. And I'm also doing a series of combo workshops in November. The first workshop is completely booked out. If you want to get into the second workshop, there's still a little bit of time, I think, but you have to be quick. But I do hope to see any or all of you at any of those events. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all those who support the website and all those who support the Patreon account. I could not do this work if it was not for you people, so I cannot thank you enough for that. But that is it for me now. I'm completely out of time. Please take very good care until I speak to you next. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.